What do you play?
Just fuck around. I used to play the guitar like years ago. Like the typical Wish You Were Here kind of vibes.
So go E-G-A-G.
E-G-A-G.
So think of the shape, right? Don't think of the letters. Yeah, so that's it then, right?
Yeah.
That's the sequence, right? So it's like...
For me, that's like you're playing that. You're showing me how to drive a Ford Fiesta and then you're jumping into Fiari.
So G, E minor, C to D.
I'll practice and come back and we'll do some more. Let's put the guitars down and have a chin mic.
Yo, fuck off, will you? Fresh, yeah?
Shut the fuck up!
So we've been on a deadly journey. With the podcast, you know, we do talk about really deep stuff.
When you mean deep, what do you mean?
Well, like I rang you during the week and I asked you, were you all right? Because I felt on the two of the podcasts with Trina and Jimmy that you were in a dark place or something like that, you know, and I was worried about you. And you've rang me and asked me when I was in dark places about trauma and stuff like that, you know, and I listened to a young person yesterday talking about trauma, you know. It's there, like, you know, and I think there was a time when we were kids that battering kids was like a national pastime, like, you know. So schools battered you, right? I was bashed by a teacher. I remember listening to Jonathan, who spoke about this in Damo's film, Love Yourself Today. He says, you know, a teacher gave him a hiding, and I had tears in my eyes watching that film because the same thing happened to me, you know. Now, the only thing was my dad went up to the school and challenged them and took them really, really to task, you know. And out of that, I wasn't let go into the secondary school, which turned out to be a blessing because I went to Plunkett's, which was a great school.
So when you say dark, what do you mean?
So when I was talking to you the other day, I was asking you about some of the subjects that we bring up, how relevant are they to our own experiences, you know, or to your experience or whatever, you know. I was wondering, is that why you were in that dark place, you know? And funnily enough, since I spoke to you, you have lifted. I don't know whether you've lifted from the darkness, but it looks like it, you know, on the outside, it looks like it.
When you were talking to me, I wasn't in a dark place. So I'm trying to, there's a few things. One is, what do we mean when we say dark? And then the other one is, how do we know when we're in that thing or when other people are in it?
I think with you, it was in your eyes. I could see something in your eyes that I was, you know, they say the eyes are the windows of the soul or whatever, but I don't know about that. But we talk about patterns all the time on this podcast, right? So we see patterns, you know. Some people talk about gut feelings. I just think we see patterns, and as we grow older, we see those patterns repeating and repeating and repeating. In the game that we do, we know that people come in and they have a certain look about them, and then they say, I'm depressed or something like that or whatever, or I'm in a dark place or whatever. So you kind of go, that's what somebody looks like when they're in a dark place. There can be people who will completely deceive that. You know what I mean? That'll come in all happy, 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 and then tell you 20 minutes later, I'm in a really bad place. So there is a part of us that can put the best of us forward like that. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying it's not a given, but I do think there was definitely signs there where I was kind of going, I need to ring me mate. And I think that happens all the time with people. You know, people ring and say, you are right. And you're like, yeah, why? But they won't take it that before. Well, I know, I thought you were a bit off or something like that. Whereas yeah. I think me and you have a relationship where I can say to you, you're talking about this a lot. What's the story, you know?
I used to hide it, like I'm sure we all do, but then I've learned that hiding it doesn't really work. So there's a few things there. One is, I'm trying to get to what is the darkness.
Yeah.
Just as a human fucking psychological, emotional thing, what is that? Because I'm interested, does that serve a purpose in our lives in any way? As opposed to just being this unfortunate fucking thing that happens to humans, that we get darkness. And I'm sure that, well, I don't know, if fucking animals get the darkness. So if it's, is it just a human experience? And if so, is it just random? Is it just something that just happens? Or is it there for a reason? Is it there to protect us? Is it there to warn us? Is it there and there's no explanation for it?
Or is it a point of the bottom? Is it a point of, oh, I can't fucking do this, you know? Or, you know, is it that? You hear about people saying their lowest point or their rock bottom or something like that, you know? Some people will say, well, that's the point that I returned. When I hit my rock bottom, I couldn't go anywhere else. So I decided to do something about this, you know? So people who would be in addiction, people who would be in mental illness, they'll say, well, I reached that point and I couldn't go any further. So I turned and did something about it. And we know if you do nothing, nothing happens. The answer to that question is, Dean, I don't know. I don't know whether it's...
Because I was in, let's call it, the darkness a couple of months ago. And I just started telling everyone in my family, I'm in that place. It was a family event and I didn't go to it. I'm in that place, whatever that place is, where the feelings or the mood or the vibe is just, it's hard even to put a word in it.
It's void.
It's a void, yeah. It's a shallowness, or it's an emptiness, or it's a purposelessness, or it's just, you know what I mean? You get up in the morning, you have your shower, you have your breakfast, and then you put on your clothes, and 9 times out of 10, you'll walk out the door and everything be grand. But the odd occasion, for whatever reason, you get this colour, or this blanket, or this
feeling. Yeah, you explain it really well. You explain it really well. I think it's something that we don't like, you know. Now, okay, Leonard Cohen and Nick Cave, Morrissey and all those people created a career out of that kind of stuff, like, you know, of that deep, dark, whatever it is, right? I also find Morrissey very funny. I also find him very mad. There is a darkness that we don't like being in.
So I'm wondering why we're calling it a darkness. That's probably what the question should have been. Why are we calling that the darkness?
Well, it feels dark. You know, it feels like, for me, it feels like I'm hemmed in or something, or I'm closed in. And, you know, see the way I'm frowning there? Like, it kind of like, oh, it's heavy on me, you know?
So it's a melancholy.
Melancholy would be okay for me, you know?
Okay, so it's, say melancholy is on the scale, this is border than melancholy.
I know there are people who go darker than me, who go into really, really deep, dark places and would require medication to kind of, to even them out like a bit, you know?
Yeah, but I think that that's relative to the person, and it's like comparing trauma. If you start comparing trauma, everyone's trauma is minimized by the most extreme case. I used to do that as well, going, well, at least I'm not as bad as whore, or at least I'm not as bad as him.
There are different depths of depression or darkness or whatever you want to call it. Some people are in it a long, long, long time, and the medication doesn't even bring them out. Should they used to do electro, I'm sure they still do electrotherapy with some people. Well, for me, darkness explains it, right? That's what it's, you know, when I say to people, I'm in a bit of a dark place, they get it. What I'm starting to learn now is a little bit, and even just listening around to different people, that there's a place, there's enough space in me for darkness and lightness at the same time. I don't have to sit in the dark. I don't have to sit with the darkness and go, well, I'm depressed and that's it. That there's actually, I could be feeling like that, but I could also, there's other spaces within me that I can kind of drift into too, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I got a couple of months ago. I just went, oh, hello darkness, my old friend, and just went, welcome in. Come on, yeah. Here we go. Let's do whatever this is. Not getting excited by it or inviting it in, but accepting that it's there and allowing it to be whatever it is, so it's less dark.
Mm.
So it's more part of life. I expect it and almost starting to embrace it and go,
how are you?
How are you? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a great place to be in when you're there. And then people will say to me, why didn't you ring me when you were? And it was just like, I just didn't want to ring anybody. I didn't want to speak to anybody. I didn't want to. Nope. My one is funny because I'll go into work and I'll be driving to work and I'll be like, oh my God. But when I reach there, when I get there and the purposeness of work, I kind of get out of it. I'm not stuck in it. You know, people wouldn't think, you know, now people have said to me, yeah, right there. And I'd be like, just give us a little bit of support here for a day or two, you know, and I'd be grand. And it wouldn't be anything coming back from Australia. I really missed the freedom I had in Australia. Cycling around on an old ladies frame 1980s bike with a back pedal around the creek and across the road up into the town and buying dumplings at 10 o'clock at night, you know.
How do you get that freedom? Or are you saying you don't have it here?
Well, I don't have it here because here I have my job, and my job is really important to me, and it's important that I do it right. I have a house that I live in that I try to manage. I did a lot of work this morning in the house trying to manage my mess. And I have three dogs in the house. And they're hard, not hard work, but they're work. So it's important for me to get those things right. The one that gets left the most is the gaff, you know, because I don't have that clean. You have that clean thing. I don't have it. Like, you clean as you go. I see you doing it. Funny enough, I do it at work. I would do that at home as well, stuff in the bin. So, but I'd be untidy rather than anything else, you know. And then that becomes a burden then, you know. The gaff's like, oh man. But if you give it an hour, it's great.
Yeah, I have a few rooms where I live that I have to keep tidy. One is my bedroom and one is a sitting room. And I kind of don't for some reason. So I'm thinking, like what you said, is there something going on with me?
Because I find when the gaff is cleaned, and I got cleaners in there a while ago to clean the gaff, like clean the gaff, and the feeling of it was unreal, unbelievable, you know, just being in the gaff and it was that clean, like, you know, there is definitely something linked to it, you know, where you, I'm not bothered, you know, I'm not, you know, what kids say, you ask a kid to do something, they go, effort, it's a bit like that, you hear me saying that as well, you know, you'll say to me, why don't you do that, and I'd be like, effort. And so there's a bit of...
I think I used to suffer from this, but I see it in you that we, to be around young people so much, we pick up their mannerisms.
Yes.
Their language. Hardly. Their view of the world and all that type of
swear.
Stuff. Swear. Swear down. Ma's life.
Get on. The one thing about it is that coming out of it then, and I think there might be a bit of a seasonal thing with me as well, because the last couple of days has been lovely here in Ireland, you know. You know, the weather's kind of picked up. There's a bit of longevity in the day. It's like the winter's over, you know, and we're into something now. And it just was like, there was a bit of hope and a bit of buzz and a bit of yiddy up, you know what I mean? And so there might be a bit of seasonal.
And that's where I am as well. What's it now? Fucking fourth week in April. I'm starting to get that feeling, that vibe. Yeah, so that can wear, it definitely wears on me a bit. And where I'm living now, because it's up in the hills and it's, it seems to be a lot more wintry, a lot more wild. Like you're building a fire for blading 5-6 months of the year to keep warm. I've never experienced that before.
I came out of your gaff up there and it was lashing rain when I was there. And I came out and I drove through a puddle, right? Through a, what do you call it? A flood on the road, right? And I swear to God, I think it came up nearly to the door handles, right? I was in the middle of it before I realised, oh, fuck, right? And I came out the other side and there was steam coming out of under the engine and I pulled into that little garage and the woman said to me, you didn't drive through that, did you? I said, I did. She's like, oh my God, that'll wreck your engine, that'll wreck your car. And I was just thinking, it is so much more difficult to live in that environment. You know, it's not like that here. You know what I mean? You don't have major big floods.
You don't have major big weather either. Like we get all the wind, all the rain, because we're up on the side of a hill exposed. You're kind of protected in the city a little bit.
I like going out in the rain. I'm not so sure about I'd go out in the rain up there. In the dark, like, you know. Just because of traffic. That's all. Not because of ghosts or...
Yeah, it's bleeding pitch dark.
And if you got a smack of a car...
You're a ghost.
You will become a ghost.
You're dead bread.
Is there many walks there, Dean, when you come out to Cumia Gaff?
Where I live, you're in the walks. You're in the forest. You're in the hills.
Where do you start, like?
Oh, so I would get into my car and I'd drive 5 minutes up to the Lumpers and I'd just pick a different valley or a different hill. Right behind my house, there's a hill and a forest.
I always remember hearing this fella talking one time. He was saying, like, Monday, Spirit Store. Tuesday, McManus's. But one of them was Friday, Lumpers.
That's where the Merry Wallopers hang out.
In the Lumpers, is it?
Yeah, that's where they practice of a Thursday night.
They are out there. What's the word I'm looking for? Not cross. They're like the alt community, like, you know, they're kind of like...
Counterculture, subculture.
Counterculture. Yes, and I remember they were the people that went out on the beach. I remember Gemma O'Doherty and John Waters were doing... A protest. They were doing launching something on the beach in Black Rock, and the people came out. They had this, you know, no to people with beards or something like that. You know, that was them. Even listening to them on Tommy Tiernan there, and they're talking about keeping their autonomy. Like, you know what I mean? Not having to sign the big labels or any of this kind of stuff. And it's them. They own everything. They make the choices. They go on tours. They do the stuff. Like, you know, and they don't have to pay 75% of them, wherever it is, to a record company or any of that kind of stuff. It's them.
There's a big festival, a big rave that happens down there near the Lumpers, near Ravensdale. But it's like towards the end of the summer. Could be September or something like that. But I looked out my window and it was thundering and lightning. And then, but then in the background behind one of the hills, there was like a strobe like that. And the music was pumping. And it was like 2 a.m. And it's just a tent of raving lunatics, all types of counterculture heads, wrecking the gaff up in Bleeding, Jenkinstown and Ravensdale and some crack. Come here, you said a thing a couple of times. I just want to see where it leads, where it goes, about patterns as opposed to gut feeling.
Yeah, have you got a gut feeling?
I would be a gut feeling type of person.
So what? Where does it start in your gut?
It's intuition. That's what I call it.
So intuition, right? That's the bit that you connect with, right? So the bit behind that, just take it like a computer, right? So the intuition is what you see on the screen, okay? Yeah?
No.
Okay, just getting to try and imagine this, right? So what's coming up on the screen is intuition, right? But what's in the data bank is the pattern. you're there looking at a situation, right? And you're seeing two people getting into an argument, right? And then you step in and say, right, lads, stop now. You go over there and you go over there, right? And somebody will say to you, I didn't even notice that. And you're saying, I've seen this happening before. You just stop it before it happens. So your intuition is that you could see this, you've seen this happening 20 times before, 40 times before, 50 times before. I'm sure there's refs on a pitch at a GAA match and they can see the row coming. They can see the melee in the post because they've seen it 100 times. Somebody called somebody, whatever, you big dub. And then there's a head goes up and once they're like, hold on a sec, stop this now, because when the head start going in, bang, it becomes a melee, you know? We see patterns. So we all, that's a very concentrated one about fights, because that's one that I would recognize myself. But you would also see patterns in work, in your relationship, in your family. Here we go again. You know, you'd hear somebody, here we go again. She's not starting with this thing now, is she?
So I get that, and there's loads of examples of it. And one example is the same as all the examples, because it's something that you've seen before, you've seen numerous times, and the pattern evolves.
Yeah, so you realise you've seen the pattern, you've seen behaviours, right? I think we store the information, you know, it was, you know, how come we always fight the chipper? You know, something like that, like, you know what I mean? And then you
So I get all them. So let's say there's something that happened once, there wasn't a pattern of it, and you get an intuition. Like a mother and her child, the child is in danger. He wasn't in danger before, and she just knew, oh, something is going to happen here.
So for me, right, and I have a dog at home. She is a hero for eating things, right? So she just, like, socks and shit like that, like, you know what I mean? The pattern is, she goes quiet, right? So I'm like, where is she? So there's a silence. So I'm not listening out for it. I'm not thinking, it's not in the forefront of my consciousness, right? But I kind of go, where the fuck's she gone? And 9 times out of 10, she's up on the land and eating one of my socks, right? I think with the mother is the intuition, the silence, the, hold on a sec, what's going on here? Where's little Johnny? Where's little Mary? What's happening here? You know, there's stuff going on in the background, not in your consciousness, in your front consciousness, but there's the stuff that's going on that you're not even aware of. And we think that that's a gut feeling, right? But I don't think it is. I think it's a cognitive reaction to a set of circumstances that we've had similar with before.
I get that. I also think that there's gut feeling. I also think that our gut, our actual physical gut, tells us things. And it has a memory.
Yeah, I don't know where memory is stored, so you could be right. I'm not sure that memory is stored in the brain. When people get dementia and stuff like that, and the brain deteriorates, that's where they lose their memory. You know, so it's not happens when somebody gets liver disease that they forget who their family are, you know, or when they get their appendix removed that they forget how to drive a car. So I kind of point towards that memory is in the brain. Like, I've heard of people, read about people who have had transplants, liver transplants or stuff like that, you know, and then they have memories of things that never happened to them. Like, you know, they were in America and they were never in America, but the person who the organ was transplanted from was in America. So I'm sure the body holds some memory, right? For me, the majority of it would lean towards the brain being the computer of the body. It might be the signaling station, but there's a bit of memory in the rest of the body, like, you know. I know a guy who's had his arm removed recently, you know, but he hasn't lost his memory. I know people who've had some of their gut removed. They didn't lose their memory, you know.
I do know what you mean. I remember being in Botswana, and we were out in the wilderness. There was an animal behind me that I couldn't see, but I felt the animal was there. I'd never seen the animal before. I was never in that situation before. Something happened within me, a gut feeling, intuition. It wasn't based on experience before that.
okay, I think you've had that experience all your life, right? It mightn't have been in Botswana about an animal behind you, but you would have been in situations where there was danger. And I think your body recorded what happened.
Where did the body record it?
Where did the body record it? I don't know. That's what I said. I don't know where it records it.
Could have recorded it in the gut.
I don't know. But if somebody has their gut removed, do they lose that ability then?
I don't know, but it's interesting.
I would have liked to believe that there was a gut feeling, you know? And then I start thinking about it, you know, what is this? Because I'd have similar stuff like that, you know what I mean? When I walk the dogs, I wear headphones and something will tell me, can't hear because I'm listening to talking heads on full volume, you know? And then something will tell me that there's somebody behind me. So it could be the dog changing direction. It could be whatever, you know, light, whatever it is. There's loads of different nuances happening in that situation, not only hearing.
What do you mean by that? There's loads of different nuances, not only hearing. There's loads of different senses.
Shadows. There's a shadow might go across the road.
So you're sensing different things with your senses.
Yeah, you're sensing different things.
So I think that there's a sense called intuition.
If you think that that's grand, I'm just saying my version of it is that I think the body stores information. We come across these situations all the time. They're not all the same.
I think we're saying the same thing then. If you're saying the body stores the information and I'm saying we have a gut feeling.
Yeah, okay. But I'm not so sure that it's stored in the gut. I think a lot of information is stored in the brain only by the fact that a lot of my family...
If you got your foot taken off, you wouldn't forget to put your bleeding...
You wouldn't have... Yeah. Put your socks on. Do you want to hear me joke about that?
Go on.
Fella had his foot removed and his girlfriend bought him a prosthetic for Christmas. And she said to him, that's not your full present. That's only a stock of filler.
Say when I'm meditating and my eyes are closed and I'm relaxed and I'm breathing and I'm kind of turned off a lot of the senses.
Right.
Like I'm not really listening to anything. I'm not looking at that and I'm not tasting that.
You might think that you've turned off them senses, but I think those senses are going to be ever present.
Yeah, they're in the background, but I'm not focusing on them. Maybe they are in the background. Maybe the clock that it's ticking, I don't hear, but it's...
You've tuned it out, yeah.
Yeah, I've tuned it out. So when I get to that place, when I've tuned all those out, I tune into something else. And it feels like an intuition. It feels like something inner, like an inner voice or an inner wisdom.
I think we're saying the same thing. If you are in that place, right, and you have your eyes closed and you're not focusing, and then somebody walked into the room or, you know, there was a little breeze came into the room, you'd feel it on the hairs of your arms or something, like, you know. You would tune into that then, you know. We've loads of different senses. There's loads of stuff going on. There's definitely that inner thing that you're talking about, because when I was in Alice Springs, I had a lot of quiet time and I had a lot of time to tune into that inner voice or that inner place, you know. Yeah, it's a good place to go. I'm just not so sure that it's a feeling in your gut.
Oh, that's what I was thinking the other day, because I was editing the podcast and I was hearing you say, I think, and what I'm playing around with is I feel.
Yeah.
So one is definitely in the head, it's cognitive stuff.
Cognitive, yeah.
And the other one is definitely more of a feeling.
Emotional.
Yeah, it'd be aligned to emotions, but it's more like a feeling.
Is emotion and a feeling the same thing? Emotions?
I don't know. I used to ask this. I read a book when I was young called Awareness by Anthony DeMello, and a lot of it was about how to understand feelings and emotions and what the relationship is. And I used to busy myself with that, those types of thoughts and conversations in my own head for years. Do thoughts cause feelings? Do feelings cause thoughts? That's kind of the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy. There's a relationship between the mind, thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And yeah, so when I meditate, one of the things that I kind of torn down is the head or the thinking.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is allowed to reveal itself or torn up.
Yeah, I think that that's the origin of meditating, is to try and switch the head off. And you don't fully switch it off. I'm sure there are practitioners out there who go into deep places, you know. But I have heard those people saying it's not about switching that off completely, you know. It's, I think when you get into that deep place of meditation, you do go into a different realm in your mind. Is that cognitive? I don't know. Is it a relationship between the cognitive and the emotional? Don't know.
I was in that place a couple of times where you almost disappear, but then you do disappear.
Is that with or without substances?
That's without substances. Yeah. Without mushrooms or without ayahuasca or anything like that. Yeah, it's a meditation.
Yeah, I love that. I loved it, that pure meditation. And I did do a bit of it with Austin down in Wicklow. And I liked it. You know, I did like it. Problem with me is sometimes they meditate lying down. And I just go to sleep sometimes because I'm so exhausted. So I'd love to not drift into slumber, but to lean into myself. But I was talking to a guy who meditates a lot, and I said, I'd love to learn how to meditate. And he goes, what do you do? Like, you know, and I said, well, sometimes I come home and I just switch off the telly and switch off. I sit in the room and I just sit in quiet. He goes, that's meditating. That's it. So I lean into that now. I kind of do that a lot now where I might light the fire and just turn off the telly and turn off the phone and all that kind of stuff. And just sit there. I won't close my eyes. I'll get into a nice little quiet space where I try and switch off the mind and try and switch off. Oh, I forgot to book the NCT or something like that. You know, that stuff. That's the stuff that'll get me, you know.
And if you close your eyes, what happens?
I will probably fall asleep.
So that's one of the places that I return to, is that silence. And instead of thinking about, did I book this? Did I book that? When I do think about that, did I do that thing in my job? Did I do that thing in my relationship?
Did I leave the immersion on?
Did I leave the bleeding grill on? Whatever. Is that fucking porridge that I put on one still on the grill 3 hours later?
Did you do it?
About 100 times. So when I do that, I just, and I was talking to a mate of mine about this the other day. I was asking him how he meditates, and I was saying the one where you focus on the muscle in your diaphragm going up and down as you breathe. Or the breath going in and out of your nose, that one.
When the thoughts come into your head, say hello to that thought. Recognize it, honor it, and just say, right, I'll be back to you. And try and, you know, push it gently aside and then go back into the quietness, you know. So we were talking about darkness, and I think there's also a lightness, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff happening. It's deadly, you know.
What's that stuff?
This is going really well, which is amazing. You would remember my hyperness when we started doing it. I was going to resign and work on it.
You thought we were getting texts from RTE and all, did you?
Yeah. I thought it was so good that it would just be like whipped up. Now I'm not. Now I just love doing it. I love it. And I love when I get feedback, you know.
So what do you love about it?
That it's us, it's authentic. The feedback that I get is a lot of people say, I was in the room with you. You know, like when we had Damo in, people were like, that was deadly. It was three mates in a room talking, it was deadly. It was like I was sitting there listening to you. You know, there's people are saying that they feel like intruder sometimes. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is, I'm not meant to be in this conversation. I'm not meant to be listening to this, you know, because we do go into, you know, quite different places, you know. Yeah, so the feedback is great.
Why do you like the feedback?
Because then I know that what we're doing is right. You know, it's good. You know, like when you're in work and people come, you know, when a parent comes up and says, what you done there last week was really, really important. You go, oh yeah, now I know. That's great. You take that feedback. Now sometimes they'll say to you, what you done there last week wasn't so great, but it's great to get the feedback, to get other people's take on what you're doing, because you get an affirmation that what you're doing has meaning, has purpose. I think a lot of people are stimulated by what we say, the way we talk and the way we go on. And I didn't know that till we met Steve Wall. I hadn't actually met Steve Wall in the flesh. We were mates on Facebook, on Messenger. We used to kind of through COVID and stuff like that. And I had bumped into him in the Axis and that, but we became as close as you can be on, you know, whatever that is, like on, you know, Messenger chatting and stuff like that. And he went through a very difficult time with trolls, and I supported him through it, like, you know. So when I met him in the flesh, he was sitting in the access with you, and I came in, and the two of us just do what we do. You know, we were just, and he was sitting there like he was at a tennis match. He was like back and forth, back and forth. And he said, "Oh my God, what am I just witnessing?" Like, you know what I mean? And I got it. I said, "Oh no, I get this now. There is an energy around us that is, I think, positive. And we're not afraid to go deep with each other. We're not afraid to go into places. There's a bit of soul mining with us, you know what I mean? That's
getting closer to actually what it is now, because you use the phrases like darkness or deep, and I'm trying to, for me, to understand it in terms of our relationship and what we do together. I think it's getting closer to the connected soul that we share as humans, as opposed to the wake up every day, put your porridge on, have your shower, put your shirt on, go out the door, that type of life. It's a bit more of an invitation into those soul conversations.
Yeah.
A good bit of life can be very superficial or veneer or just like jazz hands, entertainment, football, TV. That's amazing. But I feel more me, and I feel more connected to my life when I go into those spiritual soul spaces. And when I talk about the trials and tribulations of life, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the feelings, the emotions, the intuitions, the patterns. Like I was saying to you a few weeks ago on the phone, I don't lean into the feedback as much as I used to. I kind of cut off all social media other than the Instagram for the fresh batch.
Now, in fairness, Dan, your social media was very brave, and you were trying to evoke conversations through your style, which I think, I love it. Not everybody gets it, but I love it. You also invite the trolls by doing that. Listening to politicians there recently who are saying that they won't run again because of the trolls, because of the negativity, because of the bullying and all that kind of stuff. And I seen that happened to you years ago when you did Apollo House. One by one, every one of yous had some sort of breakthrough or whatever. Breakdown. Breakdown to breakthrough. Each one of yous that were at it that were getting hammered by the trolls. I mean, yous did an amazing thing. You opened up a building that was being unused. You got people out of their gaffs at Christmas to turn on electricity, to put beds in, to put staff in who volunteered to run a homeless hostel. And it wasn't a cheesy thing. It wasn't a tokenistic thing. It was a spark of a flame, of a movement. It was amazing. But then there was people trolling you saying, "Oh, they done that, they're out to get money out of that," and you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure it broke your hearts after all you put into it. You know, there was relationships broke because of it. There were so many amazing things that came out of it. I mean, there's still people who are doing homeless stuff now because they were inspired by Apollo House and Home Sweet Home. Now, when I was a politician, the trolls were there, you know, and it would wrench my heart. Like, you know, I mean, people would be like saying real snaky, horrible things. Like, you know, and I would go home and I would be drinking on it, and I would be like, "This is," you know, I couldn't cope with it. I just couldn't cope with it. And I got away with it. Thanks be to God. I remember losing the seat, right? The second election, and I lost the seat, you know. The count was on a Sunday or something like that. And on the Monday, I had to go to Wicklow with my job to do staff training thing, you know. So we were in Glendalough, in this house in Glendalough. So, you know, Glendalough is very spiritual. You know, it's very, you know, there's a lovely vibe there, like, you know. And one of my mates, Bill Malone, he was an amazing man, Bill. And Bill could see I was hurting, you know. The dynamic that was going on inside of me, right, was weird, because there was a huge part of me that was so relieved that I didn't have to do any of that stuff again, right? And then my ego was bruised and battered because I was like, "You lost, right?" But sometimes you have to lose to win. Sometimes you have to surrender to win. And I didn't know that then.
What are you surrendering?
So you're surrendering the responsibilities, being part of, it's responsibilities. That's what you're surrendering. The responsibility of being on committees that have decisions to make about the city, about the town that I live in here.
Is there something in it about control or power as well?
Power, of course. That's ego, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would have got elected and I would have been getting houses built, you know, here or getting, you know, whatever.
But at exactly the same time, and this is one of the reasons I turned off social media, you're getting hounded.
Within 24 hours, I was a hated politician. That's what
you told me, that within 24 hours, some people would be ringing you going, thank you very much for all the work you do. And the same person would be ringing you at the end of the evening going, you're a prick.
Yeah. There was a dual emotion going on. Bill built a fire, right? It was amazing what he done. It was very, very spiritual what he did. He built a big fire out of pine trees. We start building this fire. It was a bonfire. Probably the most illegal thing, building a big bonfire in the middle of a forest. But we made this bonfire and I just kept throwing. I remember it was like palm trees I was throwing onto. It was very, very spiritual kind of thing. And I was throwing them on and I was roaring at the top of my voice. Throwing it on, and it was just releasing the pain or whatever, the hurt of the ego. That was all, because the other part of me was delighted. I was just so calm, so happy that I didn't have to turn up to those meetings. I didn't have to avoid people in the street because I was thinking, you know, I used to never come to my local shop. I used to drive out of Ballymun because I couldn't go anywhere because he would just be hounded by people.
But you're also giving up the plaudits and the bouquets. You're giving up that as well.
Well, there wasn't many plaudits and bouquets, to be honest. But they became very, very, very slight. You know, you might get to be in the stands in O'Connell Street for St. Patrick's Day or something like that. Big woo.
But I'm sure there was a certain part of you or whoever else are in positions like that, or anybody that likes, oh, we're at the getting priority boarding. We're grand here.
Yeah, that's the ego thing.
Or someone's at the giving me a like on the Instagram on the Bleeding Fresh Batch. The reason I'm saying that is because I used to hunt down the applause. And I used to run from the critique. And then I kind of switched it a little bit. I embraced the critique. And I said, yeah, thank you for that. And now what I do is I found my balance with it, which is not to take either too serious. Not to take the feedback, positive or negative.
Yeah, I'd be saying to people, Facebook's not real. You know, did you see that on Facebook? And I said, it's not real.
So that's why I'm saying the feedback from people who listen to this podcast, as much as it's, you know, they're listening to it and that's great. And if you get out and from a happy day, it's really none of my business. My intuition tells me that having honest, open conversations and listening and talking to you and other people that we invite in is good for me.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing it. That's my, as you say, that's my ambition. That's my motivation.
Oh, yeah. No. I like that. But no, so I'm not hunting for likes. Or hunting for...
No, but at the start of this process, you were, because you were getting high. You were getting high on it.
I was excited and I was real honest about it. I was telling you, I was really excited and I knew it wasn't... I knew in a part of me that we weren't going to be the next Joe Rogan. Like, you know what I mean? That's, you know, I knew that, but I was excited by it. And I think the excitement from it was good. It was a good energy, you know, to be excited by it. And there has been critiques, people saying, oh, that wasn't great what you said there, you know.
You can't say that. Yeah. My kind of thing is, on your podcast, you cannot say that. Or in your conversation that you're having,
you
can choose not to say or say whatever you want. The great thing about this is you can choose to...
Not listen
or listen or share it. None of that is my business.
Yeah.
Because when I do make it my business, I get sick, I get ill, and I go into a place.
Oh, yeah, dark place. But when somebody comes up to you, Dan, and says, oh, I really liked the podcast with Trina.
I feel great for them. I think, you got something from that. That's great. Amazing.
Do you not feel part of something?
When I'm in the moment, when I'm doing this, I feel connected with you.
Mm.
and then I edit it, and then I put it out, and then it's like the art is out.
Yeah, no, I get that bit.
And I feel good for what I do right now. When I get feedback from people, I think it's great for them, whatever they're feeling.
Yeah.
I've already done the thing.
And I get that sometimes, like some people that say to me, oh, I listened to that podcast the other day and it's the one with John Rooney or something like that, you know? And I'd be like, that was ages ago, you know, even though I loved it and I loved being there and I loved being around John and that. Some people say, you know, the podcast that you did with, you know, with Trina or something like that, I'd be like, that was deadly, you know? And it's, again, we're at the doing the one with Brick Nasty, like, you know? So I'm on that. That's in my mind, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I get it. I get what you're saying, yeah. That's, it's gone.
Yeah, it's not gone. It's out there. And my attachment to it is in the moment. I'm just in the moment with it.
Mm.
And then it's there. People can listen to it. And if they celebrate it or trash it, it's none of my business. So whatever they got from it is what they got from it. Someone looks at a painting on a wall. Picasso was not going, give us a bit of feedback there, would you? He's just going, I just done that. And I've done loads of them. And when I was doing it, I was in the moment and I was feeling the vibe and I was searching for something in yeah. that moment. And I recorded it on canvas or on tape or in a song for you to listen to it at your leisure and get whatever you get from it. Yeah, so what I'm enjoying about it is that we give each other the time to explore those things.
Who's the next guest?
Who would you like to get?
Michael Cullen would be great, the poet.
I'm intrigued by the journey that Ciarán Moran is on. Just like he's at that lovely point, kind of like where Brick Nasty is.
Yeah, very, very similar.
They're on that.
Very similar, yeah.
Creative rise.
Yeah, it's deadly. It's lovely to see it, yeah. There's a woman that I'm in college with who is Roma, and I'd love to hear her experience and what it's like to be Roma, you know, in Ireland, what that's like. I'm very interested in that. There's a couple of traveller women in college who I think are really, really...
Do you reckon we could get a traveller woman on this podcast?
I'll ask.
Please do. For me, that's really interesting. And now it's time for yous to give us feedback. If yous can give us feedback either through the Instagram or through Spotify or if you're on the Tortoise Shack Patreon platform, and just in terms of do a live show or here's a guest idea that you mightn't have thought about.
Yeah, I would still love to do the live show in Ernesto's.
If they build it, just book it and let's do it. Let's stop talking about it.
Yeah. Yep. There's a comedian who I'm on Facebook with. She's very funny. I'd love to get, I can edit this out. It's so deadly.
Baby. Yeah. I can't wait to hear. I'm just throwing in this so you can remember. Can't wait for you to edit this and see what it's like and see what the results are.
I'm going to put that in there. You see, this is the thing with the editing is that you have
control.
You have control and I could just take all your stuff out.
This is your ego. So that's your name, ego talking,
her name
right?
is Shirley Shanann Higgins. So shenanigans.
Shenanigans, oh, very good. I thought you were like Dumb and Dumber where you were going, Swanson, Simpson, Swamson.
So here, hold on a second now. Just
Samsonite. Wait. It said it on the side of the case all along.
Yeah, I'd love to have Shanann Higgins on, the comedian.
What's her name, Ray?
Shanann Higgins, which is like, it's shenanigans. Shanann Higgins, you get it?
I do. Yeah,
you'd love to have her on.
She's yeah, a bit of crack.
I'll get a message to her. Right, let's finish it up. You always know the number of it.
You don't even need to say the number. That's the great thing about it.
Why?
Because we haven't said it for the last four episodes.
What episode would you think it is?
This is 28. But that's because I have fucking Rain Man bleeding level thinking. 62 matches on the ground.
Fresh batch. 28.
If you want to get exclusive content, fresh batch content, go on to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Pay a couple of quid and you'll get the podcast before everybody else. Usually about a week. Nice one.
I'd love people to become patrons of the Tortoise Shack Patreon page to help to grow that community. If you're into podcasts, there's really, really good podcasts on it and there's a lot of content. You'd never have to turn the TV on again. It's just that much content there. fresh batches on there, and you get exclusivity to our podcast, which is deadly, like, you know. So when they come out, you get them before everybody else. That made a ball to let, didn't they? I think everyone should jump on the Patreon Tortoiseshack page, because it's whopper. You get loads of podcasts, you get loads of exclusive stuff, and it's a deadly community, all for the price of a cup of coffee a month. Yup.
Nice one. See you later.
Here. Fuck off, will you? Fresh, yeah?